how to write your COVID vaccine exemption letter. That is the topic we'll discuss today right here on the Christian Worldview radio program, where the mission is to sharpen the biblical worldview of Christians and to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. I'm David Wheaton, the host, and our website is thechristianworldview.org. Thank you for joining us today on the program and also to our national sponsor, Samaritan Ministries. Whether in private or public places of work, the military, and elsewhere, almost everywhere now, deadlines are looming or have already passed, mandating that employers get the COVID injection or lose their jobs. Yes, America has descended to a new authoritarian low. Inject a substance into your body or else lose your ability to support yourself and your family. Listen to what President Joe Biden said just this week.
As many as one in three emergency responders in some cities like Chicago, Los Angeles, right here in Baltimore, are refusing to comply with city vaccine mandates. I'm wondering where you stand on that. Should police officers, emergency responders, be mandated to get vaccines? And if not, should they be stay at home or let go?
Yes and yes. By the way, I waited until July to talk about mandating because I tried everything else possible. The mandates are working. All the stuff about people leaving and people getting it, you have everyone from United Airlines to Spirit, all these airlines, we're not going to get all 96, 97% of the people have gotten the vaccine. All the talk about all these folks who are going to leave the military if they're mandated, not true. You got about a 90-some percent vaccination rate. I mean, so the idea is that the two things that concern me, one are those who just try to make this a political issue, freedom. I have the freedom to kill you with my COVID. No, I mean, come on, freedom.
Come on, freedom. It's just amazing that we have a purported president who would say such a thing. Bill of Rights, individual liberties, this is what America has been built on. Maybe you shouldn't have freedom to drive your car because you may kill someone. Maybe you should be forced to take something like the flu shot because you may kill someone. You can take that flawed reasoning pretty far. So with a God-rejecting left, most coercive of all, to get vaccinated, even young children who are in no danger of the virus, one would think someone like pastor and author John Piper wouldn't be encouraging Christians to be vaccinated, but rather leaving it up to each person's conscience to make that decision. So goes the pressure, though, to take a newly developed so-called vaccine that tens of millions of people have taken, but millions of Americans don't want. Pressure and persuasion and crass incentives, I'll get this gift card if you get vaccinated, have now turned into vaccine mandates by employers. Get the vaccine or get fired. How, quote, kind, their favorite word, in loving your neighbor, to force your neighbor into injecting something into their body they don't want and could harm them. So the burning question right now for those who don't want the vaccine is this: how can I apply for and receive an exemption from this unconstitutional and perhaps fake executive order? We'll get into that today in the program. So we're going to try to offer some direction on this burning question today on the Christian Worldview. Before we get to that, let's get to the story on John Piper thinking you should get vaccinated. He wrote a recent column for his ministry, Desiring God, titled A Reason to be Vaccinated. And he starts out like this: my aim in this article is to encourage Christians to be vaccinated if they can do so with a good conscience and judicious medical warrant. Now, just as an aside, isn't this first sentence just self-contradictory? If your conscience allows you to get vaccinated and you don't have good medical reason to not get vaccinated, those people get vaccinated. He goes on: the people I have especially in view are those who are not vaccinated because fear of being out of step with people they respect and in step with people they don't admire. That would be like the Biden administration and leftists. My message to them is simple. You are free. So he's writing here to fellow Christians who know this whole vaccine mandate issue is just a huge con and power grab by government. It's those who are more conservative in their Christianity who know they hear from fellow Christians they respect who are conservative biblically about this vaccine and COVID and everything else, and they're skeptical about it, and they don't want to get vaccinated for a host of reasons. He goes on to say, so I'm not talking directly to everybody. If the shoe fits, put it on. Check your conscience, consult your doctor, and go get vaccinated. If it doesn't offend your conscience, go tearfully and cheerfully on your way. Tearfully because over 4.5 million people have died from COVID-19 worldwide, including over 700,000 Americans. Now, I'll just interject there that we have no idea whether these numbers are true because of how COVID deaths are counted. We've covered that previously in the program. And go cheerfully, he says, because Christ makes it miraculously possible to love people by being sorrowful yet always rejoicing. 2 Corinthians 6:10. Here's the love your neighbor justification we've talked about recently. I would say loving your God is not taking an injection that violates your conscience per Romans 14. He goes on to say, before I get to the biblical argument for radical freedom, consider a few statistics that fuel the fire over which this article was cooked. So he's going to give you the basis for why he's writing this article. If the basis is wrong, if the statistics he's about to mention are wrong, then the rest of the column is not even worth considering. He says this, I'll just give you one. Nearly all COVID-19 deaths in the U.S. are now in people who weren't vaccinated. From May 2021, infections in fully vaccinated people accounted for fewer than 1,200 of more than 100,000 COVID-19 hospitalizations. They weren't deaths, they were hospitalizations. That's about 1.1%. And only about 150 of the more 18,000 COVID deaths in May were in fully vaccinated people. That translates to about 0.8%. Who does he reference to get that statistic? The Associated Press. Well, my question is, where is the AP getting their information? Are they getting it from the CDC? Can you trust them? Or the NIH? Are they getting it from Dr. Fauci? Why should they be trusted? I have no idea where AP gets their information and whether it's true. Either way, Christians should still follow their conscience. It's the same thing with we've talked about with voting. Some Christians who are more conservative did not want to vote for Donald Trump because of his narcissism or whatever else. They knew they didn't want to vote for the God-rejecting Democratic Party. But we never coerced or tried to force you or convince you if it's against your conscience to vote for Trump, even though he was the better of the two major parties because of his policy positions, that if you think you should vote third party or not vote at all, that's your conscience. And we don't want you to violate your conscience. This is the same issue with getting the vaccine. If you don't want to get the vaccine because it violates your conscience, you shouldn't get the vaccine. Piper goes on to say, when people respond to this increasingly clear reality of these statistics he pulls from the AP by pointing to untrustworthy and disreputable government and medical leaders, I respond, that's a non sequitur. The team called vaccination just made a first down, even if monkeys are holding the chains. Really, John Piper? We are just to believe Dr. Fauci and all these godless people on the left who have contradicted themselves over and over again and lied countless times about COVID-19. Even if the statistics were true, the vaccine, the so-called vaccine, doesn't keep you from getting or spreading COVID or dying. Just had a former Secretary of State, Colin Powell, fully vaccinated, just died of COVID. Yes, the vaccine may reduce your symptoms, but you also may get sick or die from the vaccine. There's been 12,000 deaths at least so far, and it's probably far higher than that. That's what the CDC reports in their adverse reaction statistics. Even that number alone is way higher, more than any other vaccine in history in America combined. For some reality on this, or truth, listen to what Matt Staver says. He is the president of Liberty Council, an organization that helps defend the civil rights of Christians and others with religious convictions.
According to the CDC and a Harvard study, what is reported on this VAERS site represents less than 1% of actual. So even though these numbers are staggering and very concerning, this is not the full picture. This is just the tip of the iceberg of what is really happening as a result of these particular shots. The swine flu shot was a failed experiment in the 1970s. It was rushed to market under the leadership of Gerald Ford. And it was promoted by the CDC. And it became a failed vaccine experiment that was rushed without proper testing. And it was eventually stopped after 53 deaths. There are more deaths every single day from the COVID shots than there are cumulatively from all the swine flu deaths that resulted in its cessation. There are more deaths in the few 7 months of 2021 from the COVID shots alone than all the cumulative reported deaths from all vaccines combined over the previous 31 years when the VAERS data chart was ultimately launched on July 1, 1990.
So anyone who doesn't have reflexive belief in whatever Dr. Fauci and the government tells them hears that and thinks, well, maybe I shouldn't get this vaccine. Just consider the difference in viewpoint between what John Piper is saying in his column as to why you should get the vaccine and what Matt Staver just said. Again, as we've said many times on this issue of COVID, it's all where you put your trust for truth or reality. I do not trust those who regularly lie and are trying to transition the country to socialism, who never talk about early treatment for COVID, and who coerce people to do things against their will. Those people I will not trust. And you would think that John Piper and other Christians like Franklin Graham will be coming out against people being fired for following their conscience. That is actually the biblical position of this. Don't force people to do things against their sincerely held beliefs or consciences. Here's what Franklin Graham said recently.
Reverend Graham, nothing's more important to you than saving souls.
Yeah. I want people to know that God loves them. He will forgive you. And God will accept you into his presence. I want people to know that COVID-19 can kill you. But we have a vaccine out there that could possibly save your life. And if you wait, it can be too late.
Just put the gospel in front of it. That's the most important thing in the world. And we don't want you to die, so take the vaccine. I can understand, honestly, why people are so confused out there. On one hand, you have John Piper and Franklin Graham, respected Christian leaders, influencers, saying one thing, and people like Matt Staver and others saying the exact opposite. So who do you believe? You need to take all the information yourself, pray about it, think about it, consult with those who are biblically mature and sound in their faith, and then make your own decision according to your own biblically informed conscience. This program has never told you not to get the vaccine. We've tried to tell you the facts about COVID and this so-called vaccine, that 99.9% of people about survive COVID. Early treatment works. Almost my whole family has gotten COVID, has done early treatment. And by the way, it's important to do it early. If you don't do it early, COVID can get a hold of you and then it becomes much more dangerous. We've told you that the vaccine is not a true vaccine. It doesn't inoculate you, as that is abundantly clear now. It may even not be FDA approved with the technicality of a company from Germany. We don't really understand the whole thing. There could be long-term effects from this vaccine. We don't know. This was just recently developed. This vaccine is mostly unnecessary for people, especially if you're a healthy, younger person. It's really unnecessary. It's largely ineffective, under 50% efficacy rate, and it's sometimes hazardous where you get adverse reactions from just the vaccine itself or even death. But we've also said if you have underlying conditions, maybe you're obese or have diabetes or lung conditions, it may be worth the risk of getting the vaccine because the risk of getting COVID may be higher than getting the vaccine. So get vaccinated if that goes along with your conscience. If that's what you want to do, then do it. That is your choice, as it should be. Decisions are always made on what we love or fear most. Personally, I fear the vaccine more than I fear getting COVID. I love individual liberty more than I love being coerced by government. I trust my conscience more than I trust the Biden administration. So that's how I make my choice.
The Christian Worldview with David Wheaton returns in just a moment.
Psalm 46 starts, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change. The earth is changing. A strong delusion has bewitched the leaders and peoples of this world. So what's a Christian to do? Focus on the most important thing, God and his perfect and powerful attributes. Our new featured resource is Dr. Stephen Lawson's book, Show Me Your Glory, Understanding the Majestic Splendor of God. For a limited time, we are offering Show Me Your Glory for a donation of any amount to the Christian Worldview. This hardcover book is 278 pages with a retail price of $19. To order, go to thechristianworldview.org or call 1-888-646-2233 or write to Box 401, Excelsior, Minnesota 55331. That's thechristianworldview.org.
Be sure to take advantage of two free resources that will keep you informed and sharpen your worldview. The first is the Christian Worldview Weekly Email, which comes to your inbox each Friday. It contains a preview of the upcoming radio program, along with need-to-read articles, featured resources, special events, and audio of the previous program. The second is the Christian Worldview Annual Print Letter, which is delivered to your mailbox in November. It contains a year-end letter from host David Wheaton and a listing of our store items, including DVDs, books, children's materials, and more. You can sign up for the weekly email and annual print letter by visiting thechristianworldview.org or calling 1-888-646-2233. Your email and mailing address will never be shared, and you can unsubscribe at any time. Call 1-888-646-2233 or visit thechristianworldview.org.
Welcome back to The Christian Worldview. Be sure to visit our website, thechristianworldview.org, where you can subscribe to our free weekly email and annual print newsletter, order resources for adults and children, and support the ministry. Now, back to today's program with host David Wheaton.
So how to apply for a religious exemption? Now, before we even talk about that, the question needs to be asked, do you even need an exemption? Because is there actually a vaccine mandate for companies of more than 100 employees? Remember, that was stated recently that Joe Biden made this executive order through OSHA to do this. Well, I read an article in the American Thinker just this week by Renee Parsons, who titled her article, "There Has Been No Mandatory Vaccine Executive Order." Well, that's a surprise because all these companies are instituting these mandates for employees. I'm just going to read a few paragraphs of this column. If you listen to Biden's recent statement on vaccine mandates, or you are an incurable aficionado of what used to be called mainstream media, you may think there is reason to believe that a formal presidential executive order mandating national COVID vaccinations has been issued. As with many Democratic initiatives, the truth and reality of Biden's September 9th announcement are frequently at odds. There was no mention of an executive order, despite the widespread public message that a mandatory national vaccine decree was being applied to American businesses and the non-vaccinated public. However, a visit to the White House website on executive orders, the Federal Register, reveals that the Biden administration has not, to date, filed any such executive order. It was reported that the object of the executive order was to direct the Occupational Health and Safety Administration, that's OSHA, Workplace Safety, to issue a rule mandating vaccinations for employees in companies that have more than 100 employees or submit to weekly tests or be fired. In addition, there appears to be no such executive order action at the White House Office of Management and Budget, as well as no evidence of OSHA preparation of an in-the-works standard to apply to the aforementioned unvaccinated. She goes on to say, announcing a mandate without any actual executive order would provide American companies with the facade of a legal requirement while removing any possible legal action against the state. In other words, while employees may be forced to get the jab, the government would remain immune from charges of acting in an unconstitutional manner and from exposure to a legitimate legal court challenge. That was a very important paragraph. In other words, President Biden makes a statement, but doesn't actually make an executive order. Companies start following it. They dupe their employees that there's executive order coming from on high, so more people get vaccinated. Meanwhile, the executive order isn't actually made, keeping the government free from legal challenges. And the Biden administration accomplishes their devious plan to get everyone vaccinated. The final paragraph I'll read is this. So while there is great media fanfare as if there is a bona fide national mandatory mandate to take the jab, currently no such legal foundation exists for any American business to force that mandate on its employees. Nor is there any foundation at this point for any state to initiate a legal challenge against the federal government. In fact, there is simply no basis for a legal challenge to a mandated vaccination policy, since the entire kerfuffle may be little more than a figment of Biden's brain and has never been adopted as a formal policy. Now, we have this article linked on thechristianworldview.org. You can read it for yourself. And by the way, I went to the National Register, the list of executive orders by President Biden, and only saw this one. An executive order requiring coronavirus disease 2019 vaccination for federal employees made on that same date, September 9th, 2021. I did not see this, quote, executive order that all these companies are referencing having to do with companies over 100 employees. It's not on the Federal Register. So that right there may be some justification or a justification when your employer mandates it. Ask them, can you please show me the executive order that was made through OSHA for mandating the vaccine? It wouldn't surprise me in this age of deception that that's exactly what's taking place. Now, before we get to the vaccine exemption letter, let's get back to the John Piper column for just a couple more paragraphs. He says this, the Apostle Paul said, this is the will of God, that by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as slaves to God. Honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor. Peter's answer is that Christians are slaves of God, Piper writes. In other words, when you submit to a human institution, you don't do it as the slave of that institution. You do it in freedom because you are slaves of God, not man. God owns his people by creation and redemption. When we submit, we do so for the Lord's sake, because he said to, God's ownership of his people strips every decisive entitlement from human authority. It turns every act of human compliance into worship. When we submit, we do so for the glory of our one owner and master. Life is radically Godward. So by extrapolation, if the government tells you your children must be educated by them in a godless indoctrination chamber so they can be re-educated against your call to educate your children, raise them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, you should exercise your freedom to submit to that. Your Christian organization or church is required by government to hire homosexuals in direct contradiction to biblical beliefs. You should submit to that? I don't think so. To conclude this column that is actually even just hard to follow, he says this. Now, we might think that the point of this biblical reality of bold, brokenhearted Christian freedom to get vaccinated would be this. You don't have to be vaccinated when the government tells you to. You are free. Live as people who are free. If your Father in heaven makes it clear to you by his word and wisdom that his glory and your neighbor's good will be better served by not being vaccinated, you are free to risk COVID for love's sake. No Christian is obliged to bow to unwarranted mandates. But that's not my point. My point is this. Don't be enslaved by fear of man. Don't be enslaved by the fear of breaking ranks with ideological allies. The old name for this is peer pressure. You are free. Seriously, he just undercuts his own column by that paragraph saying, well, if this violates your conscience, don't get vaccinated. That's the point. People who don't want to get vaccinated don't want to violate their conscience. The column was written in complete reverse. The first line should have been, if your conscience convicts you about taking the vaccine, don't get vaccinated. And then the second point should have been, if your conscience isn't violated by getting vaccinated, I encourage you to do so. Don't let peer pressure from like-minded friends convince you otherwise. But his real point is, he actually wants you to get vaccinated and hides the disclaimer way down toward the end of the article. All right, I want to get to how to write a letter for religious exemption to your employer who may be following an executive order that doesn't even exist. That's the crazy land we're living in right now in America. I'm going to play about a 6-minute audio bite from Matt Staver again from Liberty Counsel, where he gives some good advice on doing this. Now, there's a full about 20-minute video you can watch on their website. We have it linked at thechristianworldview.org in today's preview for the program. So I'd encourage you to go watch that video. And there's a whole list of written resources on that page on their website as well that'll give you good direction about how to write this exemption letter. Here's Matt Staver from Liberty Counsel.
It does not have to be long, and you do not have to go into a significant amount of detail with regards to that. The real issue, and the only issue from a legal standpoint, is do you have a sincerely held religious belief that ultimately prevents you from getting these particular COVID shots? That's the only issue. That's the only question. And you can articulate that in any manner you choose to do so that is consistent with your specific religious conviction and your specific religious tradition. It does not matter whether your pastor, your priest, your rabbi, your church, your denomination, your synagogue, or whatever it may be, your place of worship, it does not matter whether they agree with you. It does not matter whether those entities or those people have a tradition that is long held against vaccines in general or not. You may encounter, for example, some places in the employment or work places or military or in school where someone reviewing this or even making a statement with regards to your submission says that you have to be part of a recognized religion that has a history against vaccinations. That is unconstitutional. The U.S. Supreme Court has clearly rejected that. The only issue is not what your denomination, not what your religious order believes, not what your pastor, priest, or rabbi think. It's your personal belief and your belief alone. After you craft your religious exemption document, your letter, following the template and put it in your own words, there's one that is a specific pro-life rejection of these COVID shots. And that is based on the fact that all three, Pfizer, Moderna, and Johnson & Johnson, used aborted fetal cell in the development of these shots. Pfizer and Moderna say that it is not in the deployed phase, but Johnson & Johnson does have it in the deployment phase. Consequently, if you have a religious belief that believes that God is the creator and life is sacred, and you don't want to be complicit directly or indirectly with the taking of innocent human life, you can have that as your basis. You can also combine that with a broader basis, and that is that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, or that the Creator made you unique, and that God created you as a very unique human being in His image, and you don't want to harm your body and defile your body. Your belief is based upon the Scriptures. Your belief is faith based upon your faith and following God. You can have that as the broader basis of your religious exemption request. So you can have the broad one. You can have the more narrow one, pro-life. You can have one without the other. You can have them both combined together. And by the way, if you have a basis for a medical exemption, I encourage you to file a medical exemption along with your religious exemption as well. For a medical exemption, you likely will need to have some doctor or healthcare provider support your medical reason, or at least clearly state your medical reason for not wanting to get these shots. And there are many medical reasons for doing so. And if you have that basis, do both, medical and religious. It's not problematic to do both. Now, as it relates to the process, some of these entities have said that you need to have a pastor's signature or a pastor letter affirming your belief. That's unconstitutional, and we could certainly contest that. But what you may be able to do is find someone, if in fact that is being requested, and receive such a pastoral or clergy, if you will, letter affirming your belief. Again, it's not necessary, even though they ask for it. It's frankly unlawful because it's irrelevant what the pastor or the clergy think about your particular belief. Again, it is your belief and your belief alone. And the case law from the United States Supreme Court is very clear on that specific issue. File it as soon as you are prepared to do so. The longer lead time that we have between perhaps a denial and trying to resolve it for you, the better. If we get something and the denial happened because you just filed it and the termination date is only a day or a few days away, it makes resolution much more difficult. Now, if you do get denied, then you want to contact Liberty Counsel. And you can do that by going to the website. You'll find the email. It's liberty@lc.org. We want to look at what you then submitted. We want to look at the denial. So let me just close with this. I know it's stressful. I know many of you, because I've heard from you, I've talked with you, I've seen the stress in your communication. I just want you to have peace. You should never be facing this. This is an unprecedented time in American history where everybody is being mandated, or many, many people are, to get an injection. And it really doesn't matter whether somebody believes the injection is safe and effective or unsafe and ineffective. You should not be forced to place anything into your body that you don't want to put there. And certainly if it collides with your sincerely held religious beliefs. That is unconscionable, it's immoral, and it is unlawful. We will not abandon you. We are here for you, and we will do everything in our power to walk you through this process so that you can continue on in your profession, in your service, in your school. And even if you get denied in places of public accommodation, we want to make sure that the doors of freedom continue to remain open on our watch. We're here for you, and you are clearly and daily in our prayers. God bless you, and Godspeed on this first step.
That was Matt Staver of Liberty Counsel giving some advice on what to do if you were seeking a religious exemption from the COVID vaccine mandate. Now, again, you can hear the whole audio, and there's lots of written resources on there to help guide you to do this. It's all linked at our website, thechristianworldview.org, in today's preview.
The Christian Worldview with David Wheaton returns in just a moment.
The landscape of healthcare may be ever-changing, but one thing Samaritan Ministries members count on is the blessing of biblical community with their healthcare, like these friends.
Yes, our needs are being met, and so we are on the receiving end in many ways, but we're also able to meet the needs of others, and in doing so, we're living out that biblical reality of generosity and serving one another.
Kind of a breath of fresh air in some stressful times. We have just been able to rely on Samaritan in ways that we never really even thought about before becoming members, and it's just been a real blessing to us in different phases of life.
In a world where the only constant is change and Jesus, it's nice to be a part of a ministry family that has been a consistent part of our lives for 10 years and will be for years to come. Like, we love that.
Want more information? Visit SamaritanMinistries.org/TCW.
David Wheaton here, volunteer host of the Christian Worldview radio program. Listeners are often surprised to learn that we as a ministry pay for airtime on the radio station, website, or app on which you hear the program. The primary way this expense is recouped is through listeners like you donating to the ministry or becoming a monthly partner. Our aim is to have each broadcast outlet fully supported by the listeners to that outlet. If you are a regular listener, we would be grateful if you made a donation or became a monthly partner of any amount. To do so, go to thechristianworldview.org and click on Donate. You can also call 1-888-646-2233. That's 1-888-646-2233 or thechristianworldview.org. And be sure to specify on which station, website, or app you listen, as that helps us decide whether to continue on a given outlet. Thank you for your support.
Thanks for joining us on the Christian Worldview. Just a reminder that today's program and past programs are archived at our website, thechristianworldview.org. Short takes are also available, and be sure to share with others. Now, back to today's program with host David Wheaton.
Now, as I was listening to that, I was just thinking the difference between that clear, logical, biblically based advice there and what John Piper was writing in his article that was hard to understand and contradictory, saying, I encourage Christians to get the vaccine, don't not get it because of peer pressure, but then at the end saying, well, if it's against your conscience, don't get it. I mean, really, the difference is incredibly stark. And like we've said earlier, don't resign from your job. Let your employer fire you. That gives you legal recourse in the future. Now, in putting together this program today, the thought kept coming to my mind, how do we get to such a point in our society where there is a mandate by government pressured by everyone around us to get something to inject into your body that's not very effective at keeping you from getting COVID and that could be dangerous to you, like this huge pressure tank of comply or else? And it really is a religion with a new name, but the same old beliefs that is taking over America. And that religion is, there's many names for it. You could call it wokeism. You could call it social justice, which is really socialism. With other terms like critical race theory, DEI, diversity, equity, inclusion, you hear that all the time. But it really is overall just humanism. It's a man-based religion. And this humanism, or wokeism, we'll call it, has infected everything. It's infected government, corporations, the military, tragically, of course, the educational system, media, and the evangelical church. There's really not any element, aspect of life that it hasn't totally corrupted today. And the bad thing is a country like ours is not going to be able to withstand this. Because we need a military and we need an economy that is stable and can project strength throughout the world against evil actors who would like to disrupt the world system and take power. We need stability on our own streets in America. But when you have wokeism saying we need to defund the police, you can't have stability on your streets. So what does the term woke mean? It means you have become awake or aware, kind of like being, quote, born again, right? Or sympathetic or an ally. You hear that word of the fact that America is, and here's the big one, America is systemically unjust. That is the basis for wokeism, that this country is systemically unjust and racist and therefore must be transformed. And it must be transformed to a society where there are equal outcomes for everyone. Not equal opportunity, but equal outcomes for everyone. There must be equal representation of all the races in every board and place in America. There must be equal representation, and there must be reparations for past perceived harm. Equal outcomes, representation, and reparations. Then we will have this just society. This is a religion that pursues a Marxist view of social justice, which means coerced, forced equity for all. It is inherently racist against people with white skin color. Just listen to this video that is used for indoctrinating middle school kids into this humanistic woke religion on the issue of social injustice.
This is Jamal. Jamal is a boy who lives in a poor neighborhood. He has a friend named Kevin who lives in a wealthy neighborhood. All of Jamal's neighbors are African American, and all of Kevin's neighbors are white. Because Jamal's school district is mostly funded by property taxes, his school is not very well funded. His classrooms are overcrowded, his teachers are underpaid, and he doesn't have access to high-quality tutors or extracurricular activities. Kevin's school district is also funded by property taxes, so his school is very well funded. His classrooms are never crowded, his teachers are very well paid, and he has access to high-quality tutors and lots of extracurricular activities. Kevin and Jamal live only a few streets away from each other. So how come they're growing up in such different worlds with such different opportunities for success? The answer has to do with America's history of systemic racism. To understand it better, let's look at what life was like for Kevin and Jamal's grandparents. Decades after the Civil War, many government agencies started to draw maps dividing cities into sections that were either desirable or undesirable for investment. This practice was called redlining, and it usually blocked off entire black neighborhoods from access to private and public investment. Banks and insurance companies used these maps for decades to deny black people loans and other services based purely on race. Historically speaking, owning a home and getting a college education is the easiest way for an American family to build wealth. But when Jamal's grandparents wanted to buy a house, the banks refused because they lived in a neighborhood that was redlined. So Jamal's grandparents were not able to buy a home, and because colleges could prevent them from attending through legal segregation, their options for higher education were really scarce. Kevin's grandparents, on the other hand, got a low-interest loan to buy their first house and got accepted into a handful of top universities, which traditionally only accepted white students. This opened up a wealth of opportunities that they were able to pass on to their kids and grandkids. Even as late as the 1980s, an investigation into the Atlanta real estate market showed that banks were more willing to lend to low-income white families than to middle or upper-income African-American families. As a result, today, for every $100 of wealth held by a white family, black families have $5.04. A 2017 study confirms that redlining is still affecting home values in major cities like Chicago today. This explains how Kevin and Jamal inherited vastly different circumstances. Unfortunately, the story doesn't end there. A big part of systemic racism is implicit bias. These are prejudices in society that people are not aware that they have. Let's go back to Kevin and Jamal. Against all odds, Jamal manages to be the only student from his high school to get accepted into a great university, the same one that Kevin and his high school friends are attending. But after Kevin and Jamal both graduate, Jamal notices that his resume isn't drawing as much interest as Kevin's, even though they graduated from the same program with the exact same GPA. Unfortunately for Jamal, studies show that resumes with white-sounding names get twice as many callbacks as identical resumes with black-sounding names. Implicit bias is one of the reasons why the black unemployment rate is twice the rate of white unemployment, even among college graduates today. You can see evidence of systemic racism in every area of life. The disparities in family wealth, incarceration rates, political representation, and education are all examples of systemic racism. Unfortunately, the biggest challenge with systemic racism is that there's no single person or entity responsible for it, which makes it very hard to solve. So what can you do? The first thing you can do is work towards becoming more aware of your own implicit biases. What are some prejudices that you might hold that you're not aware of? Second, let's acknowledge that the consequences of slavery and Jim Crow laws are still affecting access to opportunity today. As a result, we should support systemic changes that create more equal opportunities for everyone. Increasing public school funding and making it independent from property taxes would be a great start, so that poor and wealthy districts can receive equal access to resources. Systemic problems require systemic solutions. Luckily, we're all part of the system, which means that we all have a role to play in making it better. Peace.
Now, it would be hard to pick out just one or two things in that 4 minutes of complete indoctrination, half-truth, lacking context statement that no middle school student could possibly fend off. It was coming at you so fast. It's insulting to blacks. It's racist toward whites. It doesn't represent history accurately. And that summarizes the woke ideology of today in the mainstream, but also being imbibed by evangelicals as well. They believe this lie. And I'm sure there are some instances of what they are talking about, but this does not represent the values of this country and what this country has overcome. But the most important thing to know about this woke humanistic ideology is what it actually rejects. It rejects biblical Christianity. It actually thinks it's better than Christianity. You know, I thought back to a quote that I often will give in speaking to students about University of Destruction, a book I wrote many years ago that aims to help Christian students go off to college and stay strong in their Christian faith. And the quote is from a man named John Dunphy. He wrote the following in the Humanist publication back in 1983. He wrote this: "The classroom must and will become an area of conflict between the old and the new. The old is the rotting corpse of Christianity, together with its adjacent evils and misery, and the new faith of humanism, or I'll insert wokeism, resplendent in its promise of a world in which the never-realized Christian love thy neighbor will finally be realized." Unquote. Did you get that? In other words, Christianity didn't work and it doesn't work. The love thy neighbor of the Christian worldview does not work and has never has worked and never will work. So get out of the way, because humanism or wokeism is going to actually correct that. We do love our neighbors. We're paving the way for the real utopia. So be kind and love your neighbor and get the vaccine. Even if it's against your conscience, even if it kills you, even if it doesn't keep you from getting COVID, even if you don't know what's in it, even if you don't know what's going to happen to you 3 to 5 years from now, just listen to us, the experts. Science is real. Follow the data and get the vaccine. The framework for a Christian worldview starts with the fact that God is the creator. He exists and he has spoken and revealed himself. Contrast that to humanism or wokeism, which basically doesn't believe in God, or if some people who are woke do, they misinterpret God and Christ to be some social justice warrior. The second framework, tenet framework of a Christian worldview is that man is sinful. Humanism or wokeism views man as good, except those men which are Christians, whites, male, and conservatives. They're evil and they must be extinguished. The third tenet of a Christian worldview is of redemption, that Christ is the only redeemer. Humanism or wokeism believes that the experts, the scientists, they are our saviors, our government leaders. They're going to transform society so it's better for all of us, for the community, for the collective, because prioritizing what's best for your family or for you as an individual, well, that's selfish. And the fourth tenet or framework of a Christian worldview is that God is going to restore all things in the future by creating a new heavens and new earth. Humanism or wokeism believes that man will create a utopian world someday. So in every tenet of a Christian worldview, humanism or wokeism stands in direct opposition to a biblical worldview. And it often deceitfully uses Christian language to try to persuade people over to its side. Love thy neighbor, be kind, be compassionate. But the reality is, it hates Christianity, it hates Christians. They want to eliminate any dissent. They want to suppress any speech that doesn't agree with their woke theology. And that's why we all feel this tension in our society today. It is a clash of worldviews against the diminishing biblical or Christian worldview this country once had, and the ascending humanistic woke worldview that is all around us today. What is taking place in our country is a subversive coup to completely restructure and transition our society from free market individual liberties to a centralized authority in government or socialism. And corporations and others are in on this coup. The COVID, quote, health crisis has been a perfect pretext for this. And the vaccine mandate is yet but one step to gaining further control over you and the general population. This is nothing new. Communist countries have been doing it for a century. Man has been doing it since the Tower of Babel. We will make a name for ourselves. We will live out from under the authority and accountability from God, which is destined to fail. To accomplish this coup, you must tell lies about everything, and tell big lies, that men can give birth, you can change your gender, that white males are inherently racist, that COVID is an existential threat to everyone on the planet, that your five-year-old must be vaccinated, that the January 6th unarmed incursion into the U.S. Capitol was the worst attack on U.S. democracy since the Civil War. And you just change the language as well. You call riots peaceful protests, and the ends always justify the means of getting there, because those who are woke believe those who don't agree with them are just evil and wicked. So whatever means necessary to overcoming them is justifiable. Lie, cheat, steal, it's fine, because we can't allow these racist white supremacists to hold positions of power. They have to lie and lie and lie and tell you that you're not seeing what you actually see, and you don't know what you actually know, and that the Bible is actually incorrect and they are right and you are wrong. So they suppress the truth and they suppress speech about anything contrary to their worldview. So for instance, if you're a parent and you complain about critical race theory in your school at a school board meeting, you are now categorized as a potential domestic terrorist. So what to say to all of this? Christian leaders trying to pressure you to get this COVID vaccine. A statement by the president that may not actually be an executive order that companies are treating as an executive order and forcing you to get this vaccine or be fired, compelling you to try to figure out a way to get an exemption if you don't want to get it. This woke, humanistic, God-rejecting religion that has infected everything in our country. If you have never repented of your sin and placed your faith in Jesus Christ, I would encourage you to do so. You need to be forgiven to be right with God. Otherwise, you have to pay the penalty for your sins. But once you do put your faith in Christ as Savior and Lord, you are forgiven and made right with God. You're reconciled to Him. And then you can have the peace and the perspective and the hope within this changing and challenging world. Because the Bible says Jesus Christ and His Word are the same yesterday and today and forever. Until next time, think biblically, live accordingly, and stand firm.
The mission of the Christian worldview is to sharpen the biblical worldview of Christians and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. We hope today's broadcast encouraged you toward that end. To hear a replay of today's program or to sign up for our free weekly email, or to find out what must I do to be saved, go to our website, thechristianworldview.org, or call us toll-free at 1-888-646-2233. The Christian Worldview is a listener-supported ministry and furnished by the Overcomer Foundation, a nonprofit organization. You can find out more, order resources, make a donation, become a monthly partner, and contact us by visiting thechristianworldview.org, calling toll-free 1-888-646-2233, or writing to Box 401, Excelsior, Minnesota 55331. That's Box 401, Excelsior, Minnesota 55331. Thanks for listening to The Christian Worldview. Until next time, think biblically and live accordingly.